You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
What in God's name are we doing? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Holy crap, I don't know who the hell we think we are when we do something like that.
It's 8 o'clock on the horn on a Monday night. That must mean this is Insincere. I'm your host, Patrick Davis. With me, as always, getting ready to celebrate Father's Day, the one, the only, Anthony White joining on the show today. We're going to talk a little NBA. We'll talk a little bit about the referees and umpires and people trying to overstep some bounds, I feel. Maybe a little oversteps.
All right.
We'll talk a little bit about the Texans just really doing Texans things, really doing it. Houston just doing it up. But first, why don't we get to recapping this weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about the first things first. This weekend happened. I didn't get to watch. I know you did, but a huge fight at UFC.
Yes.
I was getting texts from multiple people telling me how awesome it was. Can you fill me and the people in real quick of what your takeaways of UFC, Anthony?
It was a great weekend for fights. It's been a while since they've had a pay-per-view this stacked. It was two title fights, and then it was the first ever non-title fight to go five rounds with Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards. But I'll start with the final fight. Stylebender fought Marvin the Italian Dream Vittori.
Needs a better nickname.
It is literally one of the worst nicknames.
Oh,
it's you just and he thinks he's. He looks like the person that thinks he's the Italian Dream.
I feel like he went to like the nickname office and they were like the Dream. They're like, dude, you are like number 700 on the list of the Dream. He's like, the Italian Dream? They're like, yeah, that sounds terrible. You're the Italian Dream. You know who else called you that? Like some dude in his third grade classroom was like, I'm the Italian Dream. And they were like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, Enzo.
Well, he's clearly delusional because after the fight, when Stylebender went to shake his hand, he basically still thought he won the fight when he didn't win a single round. So anyways, Stylebender retained his title. He'll be fighting Robert Whittaker for the second time, hopefully within this year. The second title fight was Moreno versus Figueroa. Figueroa was the current champ, and they had fought previously to a draw. And so this was the rematch to the first fight. And Moreno came out and just dominated him for two rounds. I mean, it was day and night. And it came to find out that Figueroa's been doing massive weight cuts just to make this the flyweight.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the press conference, he basically said that's what killed him. It's not one of those things that he was making an excuse. You could tell.
Yeah.
Like, he was slower than Moreno. Like, it was just a complete day and night. So Moreno became the first Mexican UFC champion, which is that was phenomenal. That's a big accomplishment.
That's somewhat surprising, isn't it?
It's insane. I can't believe that that's happened. As many great fighters that Mexico has, you would think that they would have.
Yeah, but you think some of what? Yeah, Brazil's
just
a big
owned
one
it for a very long time.
Yeah, it's somewhat surprising.
Yeah, and then finally the main fight, or actually it was the third fight, but it was the fight that stole the show. It was a five rounder versus Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards. And basically, whoever won this fight would be next in line to get a title shot against Kamaru Usman. And for the most part, it was Leon Edwards with his styles and just skills just dominating Nate. But Nate would, you know, get his Nate smack, the Stockton slap in. He was showing his butt left and right, just playing with him. And it wasn't until the fifth round, about maybe 2 minutes in, Nate hits him with this just perfect jab. And rocks him. And I mean, at this point, Leon Edwards is walking knocked out. Like, he is a walking zombie.
Like, and Aaron Carter?
Who?
Aaron Carter, when Lamar Odom punched him this weekend.
I have no idea what you're talking about. See, you watched that, but
I did watch it. I saw it on Twitter. I saw it on Twitter.
All right, but so he had him basically knocked out, dead to rights. And for whatever reason, Nate didn't attack. He kind of just pointed at him and laughed, and then like kind of stalked him, but didn't finish it. And so Leon Edwards obviously won the match, and he will fight Kamaru Usman next. But I mean, it's just one of those. Every time Nate Diaz enters the octagon, you're guaranteed to get some type of fight. I mean, he was gashed up, blood was everywhere.
He's like, if to me now, he's the Ric Flair of just always bleeding.
He is always
He
bleeding.
Needs to get some long blonde hair to really sell the blood. That's it. That's why you have the long blonde hair, because then it gets red, red and it sells it.
No.
Come on, Nate. This is, look, this is Wrestling 101, Nate.
No, but it was a phenomenal fight. And so then next week we've got the Korean Zombie versus Dan Ng. It's a ESPN fight. So I'm excited. It was good times.
There you go. Also, Austin FC plays their first game at home. Which it was cool. I mean, it was nice to see. I saw a little bit of the game.
It was a great game. Listen, we to end a game, and I know this is going to set you off, but to end a game in a draw against the second ranked Sporting KC, that's a win for your home debut.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is just this is the problem I have with soccer in general. It's not just MLS, and I don't know all the leagues of how they do it, but I can tell you this is two games in a row that have ended in a draw. And it's not that it just ends in a draw that, that I hate. I just hate it. It's when they finish a match and they just go, huh. And that's okay. Do you know how mad I would be if I played an entire basketball game and then someone sunk a shot at the end and it was like 100 to 100 and they just went, wow, what a game, guys. Go home. I would be livid. I'd be like, no, come on, let's keep going. And I get it's harder because any other sport, you can basically be like, look, we're going to score in the next 5 minutes.
Exactly. They just went 90 minutes and scored.
I don't know the perfect thing because I'm not a soccer guy, so I couldn't tell you the perfect answer, but I can tell you this. Please, God, don't ever tell me that a draw was good, because if I watch 2 hours of a sporting event and it's the same thing that it was at the beginning, it's just a bunch of tired people afterwards, I don't care. I do not care. I don't like ties. I just don't like it.
You know, football has ties.
Yeah, I get that. I don't like them in football either.
Okay, all right.
I'm not a fan of ties anywhere.
Okay. So in soccer, would you want shootouts at the end of every game? If they go through 90 minutes and they go through the stoppage time, then they do like extra, and they still are tied, then we go to a shootout? Would that suffice you?
Yeah, I think we need to go to shootout, or, you know, let's get crazy like baseball did. No goalies. You just pull the goalies.
I mean, that would be over so fast.
You pull goalies, and whoever gets through the first time, you win. Game right. over. It's like kicking the ball off in a run back in football. It's like, well, I guess that's a game, everybody.
I'm not a diehard, obviously, soccer fan or hockey fan, but from what I gather, shootouts are like the worst thing.
I get that soccer fans don't like shootouts. But that's why I'm not going to be a soccer fan.
My God.
Because they prefer draws to shootouts, and that's insanity to me. I don't care if they flip a coin at the end. I do not care. I want a winner and a loser. I don't want to watch for two, 3 hours and then walk away and they go, how did you go? And you go, I don't even know.
I just want everybody to hear this. And if Austin FC owners are listening, this is Patrick Davis. He should be banned from ever entering your stadium.
Look, we're talking about every week.
He despises your sport.
I'm still watching the games.
Kind of. For like 5 minutes.
I'm watching the game. Right. I'm not going to keep watching if they're keep tying. If they're just Austin FC ties every week.
Are you threatening
week?
Them now?
Oh.
You tie one more time.
Who am I threatening?
I don't know.
Nobody cares.
If you tie one more time. Oh. I swear. All right. What else happened?
Then also University of Texas baseball goes ahead. It was hilarious watching the game Sunday. So basically in the regionals and super regionals, Texas was never behind. They went behind in an inning. They came out. Without an out, put up three runs to go up 3-2 and just never went behind. They were just like looking at their watch of how many seconds had passed since they were behind and trying to recorrect that. That team looks really good this year. So it was fun to watch them.
Game was close, right? Or it was tied?
No, so the first game went to the ninth inning, and then with one out left, they retied it. But they never were behind. But yeah, it was definitely – it's fun to watch that. And I'll give a big shout out to the fans that were there at the game. Like one of the things, you know, I get wrapped up in a lot of this stuff about, you know, not paying players and stuff like that. But it was really cool. DJ LeMahieu, who's a 6-year senior for Texas at catcher, but he's now a backup. They put him in at the end of the game because they're up 8 runs.
Mm-hmm.
So they put him in for an at bat in the eighth or ninth inning. And he hits a line drive out. Good contact, but just straight to the shortstop. Hits the line drive out, comes off, sticks up the horns, walks in. And he was like, that's it. But that's his last at bat ever at Dishwalk Field.
Yeah.
6-year senior. And then the crowd started chanting DJ, and he came back out and gave him a little curtain call, walk off. And you're like, that's what's awesome about college sports stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is to see a guy, and you're like, oh, that was a really cool thing to see Dishwalk fall for, was to get a little respect for a senior walking off there.
Definitely.
So that was definitely a cool thing. But Anthony, now that we've gotten through the weekend, it is time for questions of the week. And where are we going with this week, Anthony?
Is that question of the week or rant of the week? But basically, so we're first going to start off.
Look, if you understand me at any party or anywhere I'm at, normally if you ask me a question, even if it is a yes or no question,
it's going to end up in a rant.
It's going to end up in this
rant-esque.
Hey, Patrick, you want another beer? What does that mean? Oh, I want another beer. Of course I want another beer.
All right, well, we're going to start off with talking about refs in basically NBA and MLB. But this kind of got started because just recently, was that last night that it happened?
Yeah.
Jokic on the Nuggets got ejected, a flagrant two for, now granted, there was a windup, there was a strong hit, but.
You take that windup out, I don't even know if that's a flagrant. And that's saying it's all one, because he got all ball.
He got a little bit of the face.
I know, no, I'm saying he definitely hit the face.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he didn't hit the face, I'm not saying it wasn't a flagrant one.
Yeah.
But he got, like, with his hand. That's how good he is, though, is like if that kind of frustration move most people do, you're raking across their arms, right? Yeah. He's still got 100% hand on ball.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's ridiculous. But that happened last night that he gets a flagrant two, and gets ejected in an elimination game.
Elimination game. And so basically the question is.
And they're not out of it.
No,
like,
yeah.
A lot of these games they're down
back,
20
yeah.
points or
yeah.
whatever. They were down like 8, 7,
yeah.
or 8
it was still
at that
a
time.
Close game.
They definitely could have still been in that game, yeah. especially in an elimination game.
So my question for you then is. Are the refs becoming too involved in these games, especially in these important like playoff games?
Oh, always. And they always have. This is the thing that I don't understand. I've never really understood this logic that this is always the argument that comes up is they go, well, if you just get reviews on everything and if you just call the things like, you know, how the fans want them to be called and how everyone watching wants them to be called and every coach and every player should tell you it should be called. If you do that, you take the power away from these officials.
Right.
And they need power. And I go, why? I don't get why they need this power. Right. They shouldn't have any power. They should be doing this service for the fans. This is all for the fans.
Yeah.
Then you can say it's for the teams or whatever, but like this isn't about. So I get you go, they're going to argue calls. Well, they're arguing calls anyway. Like none of that changes if you go, okay, well, there's a review process where we have people in New York, which we already have people in New York, that can flag it, get the right call done, and go. And now here's the thing. These players are going to complain and go, oh, why didn't they flag in New York? But then they know in New York, if they didn't get a flag, that's because the call was there. And I think that players and everybody would learn to react to that much easier as, oh, maybe I was overreacting on the call. And when I watch, because when you watch game film the next day,
yeah,
and you go, oh, yeah, I creamed him. Or, oh, yeah, I bodied him. Because, like, when you're playing, a lot of times you're kind of doing motion memory and things. And so when you get all ball with your right hand, and yeah, you're pushing with your left arm on their waist, that's a foul.
Yeah.
But you got all ball. And so you're thinking, your brain just goes, I know what I did with my right hand.
Yeah.
And your brain makes you a liar. You watch game film the yeah. next day and you go, oh, yeah. No, I clearly pushed him away. I moved his shoulder. Like, I turned him towards me so I could get a cleaner block on it. And so there's just so much of that where you go, the players will be okay if the call is right. The problem is when this game is decided, they go back, they watch the game film, and the call was wrong. And they told you it was wrong, and there's nothing they can do. And it's like, okay, we start the game, and P.J. Tucker picks up two quick fouls.
Right.
And one of them is not a foul. Now, we're in the fourth quarter, and he's got five fouls, and he picks up another one. Now, you challenge that one,
mm-hmm.
but you shouldn't even have to challenge that one because that one may have been more of a foul than the first quarter one, but you're not going to challenge anything in the first quarter. But if you had somebody back in New York to go, hey, that's something, review it real quick, because it doesn't, like, it's not about overturning massively. It's not about overturning every call to make a pinpoint perfect. It's about, hey, that's completely wrong. We all saw it's completely wrong. We know it's completely wrong. But for some reason, we just have to give these refs the authority.
Yeah.
I think this is really what it is, what I learned working with college basketball, is that there is very much a fraternity of everyone who works around these games
yeah.
are around. And so, the players kind of shift teams. But, the staff
yeah. Yeah.
is usually around for a long time. And these staff, and so the refs are the same refs. So everybody knows these refs. And, they don't have the personal animosity fans have with refs. Like, Joey Crawford comes to UT games,
mm-hmm.
and as a Spurs fan, I have to be nice
yeah.
and not say, I don't get why anyone would ever be nice to you.
Yeah.
You cost people You cost people games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get how you can just be nice now. I get, you know, you had to go to anger management, but you should have never been a ref. You can't be a ref with anger management issues when you're deciding games. And that's, and so it just, it blows my mind when they go like, well, no, we have to have this authority. You don't. You control everything. What do you think's going to happen? Yes, if you touch a ref, you get thrown out of a game. Yes, you still get technicals. But flagrant twos like that shouldn't be put in the hands of someone who said, it's getting chippy. And you go, well, yeah, of course it's getting chippy. Jokic has been getting beat up in the post, right, double teamed, and beat. Because if a guard fouls a center, it's usually not called.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, for sure.
So
all the time.
You say this guy has been probably hit by Payne. It's Payne who he hit, right?
Yeah.
So Payne's probably hit Jokic in the arm, maybe the face, shoulder, everything, 100 times in the series.
Right.
And one time he comes over and makes a frustration foul. It's a foul. Because frustration, because of the windup, it's a flagrant one. He caught him in the face. I get it. It's a flagrant one. To throw a guy out there because you just go, well, we don't want no fights. We think a fight could break out, so we don't want to fight, is the dumbest thing you could do in that moment. It's so
well,
stupid.
It's not even true. Because, and that was going to be one of my other questions, is if – and again, Jokic is the MVP of this league. Now, had that happened, had that been LeBron James,
yeah,
would he have gotten a flagrant two for that?
I think if everything was equal, that he's down 3-0 in a series,
they still would have given a flagrant two to him?
Yes.
See, that's where I disagree.
I think they would have given a flagrant two because I don't think it had anything to do with that play. I think it had to do with Jokic being frustrated and probably talking a lot more during the series. I think it had to do a lot of those things that led up to, because that's the only explanation that being a flagrant
here's
two.
The thing, and they,
the only explanation.
They said it in the broadcast. I believe it was this. It might have been. No, yeah. That in the 3 years that he'd been in the league, that he hadn't got a single flagrant in his entire career.
Yeah.
So, but you have to, I feel like that has to be put into context as well, that clearly this was just a one time he was frustrated, and even when he got ejected, he went up to Payne and apologized to him.
Because you could tell. It's like, that's a frustration foul. You saw the way he wound up for that hit.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all frustration. If he wanted to hit Payne, he could have hit Payne. Like, that's the thing. That's not a problem. He can hit him.
Yeah.
That's not the issue. The issue is he wound up his arm, and so we're going to throw this. And that's when you throw in this whole part of intent. That refs are always supposed to.
Yeah,
the refs are not supposed to have intent, right? Because now they got this new rule that Wojnarowski just put out.
Yeah.
That they're reviewing the jumping into players. What's
unnatural motions on jump shots players use to draw fouls.
So they're reviewing this.
It's called the Trae Young James Harden.
The James Harden. And a lot of players do it.
No, I know, but they're notorious.
They're notorious.
They're making millions of dollars based off of using this.
And it's not only. And so I get it, and I. They're their biggest example because they're on TV the most. They do it the most. They have the ball in their hand the most. You see bench players do this. You see scrubs do this.
Sure.
They don't get the call.
Yeah, I was going to say
they don't get the call.
But they do it. Yeah.
And so that thing of going, hey, this needs to change. And I appreciate doing that. But the fact that James Harden and Trae Young get that call because they can look at it and go, oh, we took out intent. And we took out, there's no,
mm-hmm.
we don't have that. And then you look at a flagrant and you say, oh, he intends to hurt him, or he missed, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you can't take those two. You're saying there's no intent because you're saying he didn't intend to jump into this other guy when he clearly did, and that shouldn't be the rule.
Yeah.
And by the way, change that rule. Just change. Am I wrong in that?
Which one is this? When they jump into
of course. Change that rule immediately. Like, and I'm change it today before James Harden comes back. Change every rule that favors James Harden's style of basketball.
I don't even know how that became a rule, though. It makes no sense to me.
Well, because it's like you have to, if you're in the air, the rule book was if the other guy's coming at you, so as long as he's not going straight up and you jump into him, if he's going in any direction, the rule book basically doesn't put in because no one ever did it. People didn't do it because it was a low chance of making it. So if you're like, why would you take this high-risk shot? And they go, oh, because they just want free throws.
Right.
They could care less about making the shot.
Yeah.
It ruins the game. I can't stand it. I'll be very happy. And the funny part is, players are, they're set up to exploit rules.
Yeah.
So the minute you take it away and they know it's a rule, it'll stop pretty much immediately. Like, a few players will still do it. LeBron maybe do it every once in a while to try and get away from it. But if you start not calling it, calling technicals on it, or start giving out warnings and fines afterwards,
yeah,
I guarantee that stuff will stop within 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah,
just because people will be like, oh yeah, we're really good at what we do. We know the rule and we exploit the rule. So close the loophole.
Right.
Stop it. It's crazy that they haven't done it until now.
Yeah, it is crazy.
But I guess the right owner got mad about it.
Possibly. All right. And then in baseball, should umpires be turned into AI? Should we get rid of the
my solution
aspect
for this one, and I don't know. I wanted to see if you believe in this. My solution is we have the RoboTracker. It's a device in the umpire's pocket.
Okay.
And he basically calls what the robo ump says, unless he's like, that robo's wrong. And then we can get into the debate of, okay, well, how much are they overturning things and go back and forth? But you have it to where the robo ump helps the umpire.
Are we able to see what the robo ump is calling in real time, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with that.
Yeah,
because and that's the thing is, so it's like we, and that's the thing is, you kind of have that thing where you have the robo ump, and the MLB has all the things too. But yeah, you get let the fans see as well. But you have it. So when the one that we were talking about a couple weeks ago with the Yankees,
Red Sox,
that it goes into extra innings because he calls it on one that's way, way outside.
Blatantly, yeah.
And you go, when that buzzes and goes, ball, and you're like, ooh, I don't know. And then it's like, no, dude. RoboUmp says ball by a foot.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, ball. So you have this little aid in your pocket now. So that you have it, and I get they'll go, ooh, that ruins the integrity of the game and whatever else. Shut up and get the call right. I do not care about your old school ways. Shut up and get the call right.
I mean, this is one of the sports, one of the most corrupt sports, I would say. And if they're still talking about integrity.
Let's hit this last question real quick before we go to break.
All right. Houston Texans canceled minicamp. What's your take on that? Do you think it was a positive thing, a negative thing?
Very negative thing.
Yeah.
Three teams have done it. Philly, Indianapolis, and Texas.
Yeah.
It's you have a first year head coach.
Right.
You've changed. Basically, your coordinators have all changed. Everything in this team has changed. You're gonna have a different quarterback. You got a rookie quarterback that may be playing for you, maybe starting. Your Deshaun Watson's not playing. You need as much time as you can to get ready for the season. And the whole thing is, we don't want to fine Deshaun Watson.
Well, they also said
pay is fine. Then fine him and pay.
Yeah, I mean, because it's only like $93,000, something like that. But they said the reason why they were canceling minicamp is because they had such a huge turnout in.
No, they lied.
Well, I'm just saying that
they lied.
All right.
Yeah, we had such a great turnout. We got as much. Can
but
you
even
believe?
If they did.
All right, let me ask you this. If the Cowboys came out and said, guys, we are so ready for the season.
Yeah.
We're not even playing preseason games. We're just going to roll in the season and be like, oh, man, that doesn't sound good.
No.
That seems like there might be a problem there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous with all the rules of how much they are limited in their practices to then shut down a mandatory 2 or 3 day camp because you're so good on it, even though this team has so much overturn. And you know Deshaun Watson's not going to be your quarterback this year is asinine. It's crazy, and there's absolutely no point for it except for the fact that you were just trying to dodge Deshaun Watson's not here. You don't want that distraction, so you're going to dump the season for it?
That's what I was going to ask you. Is have you ever seen a team tank at the beginning, before the even season started? Like, they're already tanking this season. Have you ever seen this happen before?
Yeah, but not intentionally. Like, I feel Al Davis has done it unintentionally multiple times with the Raiders. But no, not to this level where Cal McNair does not care. He does not care anymore. He is just stuck in his ways. And him and Easterby are just going to sit in a room and laugh and laugh and laugh about how they ruined a football team that his father started. Oh, I need a break.
Right.
I need a break after that. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the NBA playoffs. And also maybe some Father's Day gift suggestions and maybe some things that fathers should not do. Who knows what's coming up in Insidious News? All that and more coming up on Insidious here on the Horn 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Back in Insidious here on the Horn, we just talked about the weekend and about how the Texans are going to suck this year, and I don't know how I'm going to get through it, and referees are terrible.
No, everything is just horrible in the world.
But we are going to talk about the NBA playoffs and the good of the NBA playoffs
and
the bad and the ugly, but the good.
All right.
You know what? Let's start with the good. Let's start with the good. A little positivity, Anthony.
So get the quick
get the positivity out there.
I got you.
You know, this is how you keep a dysfunctional relationship alive. Backhanded compliments. Hey, NBA playoffs, looking pretty sweet over there with your fat self. Hey, what's going on, NBA playoffs?
I don't even know where they went.
Hey, NBA playoffs. Hey, I really dig the clothes you're wearing. Do you get those at a thrift store?
You're very nice. All right, so my good, in my opinion, this has been a pretty disappointing playoffs. And it's not just, no longer has anything to do with the Lakers, but we'll get into all this stuff. But the good for me is watching CP3 just completely dominate and, in my opinion, solidify himself as just easily top five greatest point guard of all time. You look at the series, he finished with 25 points per game, 41 assists to only 5 turnovers. He's the oldest player to have 25 points, 10 assists in any playoff series. I mean, you look at what he did with this team. This team last year didn't make the playoffs. It was a very young team. It had a good core, but it didn't have their general. And now they have their general. A lot of credit goes to Monty Williams as well. But you look at what they've done in this playoffs. And granted, there's the caveat that the Lakers lost Anthony Davis. The Nuggets didn't have Jamal Murray. But still, I mean, that's just kind of how the playoffs work. You got to have things kind of fall in your favor. And then you just kind of look at the rise of the Phoenix as themselves. Are we looking at them? And you'll talk about the 76ers. But these teams that were built kind of like how the Spurs were back in the day, built and not getting these big name free agents. Now, yeah, CP3 was a big name this year, but he's an older player. He's not, he's no Kawhi, he's no LeBron, Anthony Davis, and they built this team. And so I'm actively rooting for them to go to the finals to kind of prove that this is the way you win championships.
I'll say this. I saw the thing with Jay Crowder today, kind of taking a shot at Miami, which was funny because it was Miami didn't want to, offer them more money.
Yeah.
He wanted to offer him he wanted a 3-year deal. They offered him a 1-year deal. Phoenix gave him a 3-year deal. Mm-hmm. And Miami ain't in the playoffs anymore.
Yeah.
And Phoenix is. So he's like, good call on that one, Miami.
Yeah, because he's the reason.
No, but you see him. The Miami didn't believe him. And if you put him on a team with a good coach in Williams,
yeah.
And I won't say anything about Spoelstra, but a good coach in Monty Williams and CP3, you can see what he can do. I think that when you talk about with Phoenix doing the thing, the chances they had to give up on Booker.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a guy they had a lot of chances to give up on and just go, you know what, we're moving on. You're a good scorer, but we're never going to do it. And now you see him in the playoffs really coming into his own and it just impressing everybody. LeBron showing a massive respect after that series. So I think that is a great way. And when I put that, it's amazing to see what Philly's doing.
Right.
Because when you look at that, the trust the process and how that went, and it started to go well and it was getting better, and you had Brett Brown who was there for so much of it, and you kind of wanted to believe Brett Brown could get him there,
yeah.
But you just feel they needed a change for whatever reason. You put Doc Rivers in there, you get you change up the pieces a little bit. Danny Green being just on the roster now, not even playing, is going to be a huge. Danny Green. But no, but the 76ers, is this the thing where you look at this team and you see a franchise that built by tanking? Well, they sat Embiid for 2 seasons. They sat Ben Simmons for a season.
Yeah.
They kept getting picks. They kept stockpiling. They traded for picks. They got everything. They kind of built up this way. And then made some trades, figure out what they needed to do, brought a new coach. But when you look at what they did, if they win a championship this year, the Astros, when they tanked, and that got all their good players, and then they win a World Series, is that kind of leading credence to, well, guys, especially if you're not getting the big free agents, if you need to make another splash somehow, you need to suck it up, suck for 5 to 10 years.
Right.
And then you're going to come out of it. It's like, instead of being mediocre, is it better to just go, let's hit the bottom, and we hit it hard.
Hit it hard, yeah.
Is that the new way to do it?
I mean, I think so. I mean, Phoenix didn't necessarily do it that way, but the 76ers did it that way.
I think Phoenix didn't do it intentionally.
Right.
Phoenix did it, but completely unintentionally.
Yeah. They didn't have a process. Yeah, I mean, I agree with it. I think teams are going to have to start doing that in order to stay relevant. Like, I know that you don't like to hear this, but the Spurs are probably going to be in that same kind of
I agree.
That area, that's what they're going to have to do. All right, so the bad for me is the scoring discrepancy. Of the 14 games that have played this round, 8 of them have been 10 points plus, most of those being 15 to 20 points. It's it's really rough to watch these games because you see a lot of uninspired basketball. And
yeah.
And when you think about these are the playoffs, this is everything. And now, especially when the you know you don't have the Golden State Warriors and Curry, you don't have the Lakers, and this is anybody's chance to win this finals this year, and you have these teams just getting blown out left and right. It's not a good look, and it
no, and I'm going to put this a lot on kind of how the year has been.
Yeah,
and just in general of you know it's like you're starting to go back in the office for people, and you know when you start going back, you're like, man, I don't man, this is rusty. I don't know. And I think after doing the bubble last year and this year without fans, I think there's a part of it where all these players, you know, they went into load management mode and they yeah. went into this kind of like, oh, no, it'll pick up when it picks up. And they a lot of guys just haven't quite hit that stride yet because it's not as easy to turn on. Guys like LeBron can turn it on and off. Star players make it much easier to be like, oh, no, when I need to get intense,
yeah.
I can go punch myself in the face and I'm intense.
Yeah.
Other players are like, I'm going to get intense tomorrow. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, it's one of those things. The diet starts tomorrow. It's way easier to talk yeah. about dieting yeah. than to diet.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I think so much of this is they just go, oh, we'll play again tomorrow. It's not an elimination game.
But
we'll play again tomorrow.
Is this your bad? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, yeah, the uncompetitiveness of where it was such a good regular season.
Yeah.
And to see it kind of come into, well, it kind of looks like these teams are the best. And we did the play-in. It was fun, but.
Yeah.
Who cares? There's not really any. There's no. I mean, Trae Young is probably your best underdog story, and he's not an underdog most people want to root for. Yeah,
he's the supervillain.
So it's like, why, you know, when you don't have that underdog story, it's kind of hard. And I mean, I'd say the bad too is that I'm having to root for teams that I don't want to root
seriously.
For.
Seriously.
I don't like Philadelphia sports fans. I don't like Utah sports fans.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting for these guys to win.
Yeah.
So it blows me. And you're like, you have Kawhi Leonard. I like the way Kawhi Leonard plays, but. I can't stand
him.
I have to hate him. Like it's part of it's part of the thing. When we signed up to be Spurs fans. You have to follow the company line in that. It's like in politics when Democrats and Republicans have to vote a certain way.
Like
that's it. You're like, I'm a Spurs fan. I have to hate Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers.
Exactly. And then my ugly is the real big stain on the playoffs right now is the injuries. The amount of injuries.
Yeah.
This is the 7 All Stars have missed time in this year's playoffs, the most in any playoffs. And you look at the names. You've got the Nets with Irving and Harden. You've got Jamal Murray. You've got Danny Green. That's for you. But then you've got Conley and Mitchell. You got these players that are significantly affecting games and teams and just how series are played. Because you look at the Lakers with Anthony Davis. That you know we might not be talking about Phoenix Suns right now if Anthony Davis was 100% healthy and playing. So
you know, and I mean, if you look at his Brooklyn team is when you talk about them not being able to be healthy in a season. When you talk about Anthony Davis not being healthy being a season, and they keep going, oh no, don't worry, when we get there. No, not the case. You know, this is always a thing of like when you look at old football players and it takes a massive damage on you long term. But you used to build up calluses basically. Your body was one giant callus. If you play guitar and you practice every day, you'll build up calluses. If you play guitar every once in a while and then try and play a 2-hour gig, your fingers are going to bleed. And so I think in the NBA, you have too many guys that don't have these calluses built up. They're just so strong. They're so athletic that they're going out there and it's so easy to pull a muscle or something else because they're just not, they're basically not always kind of hurt. So they're either fine or hurt.
Yeah.
There's this part where you're like, if you play basketball every day and you kind of build up this weird. Now the problem is when you retire, you're done.
Right.
You're going to run like Kenny Smith for the rest of your life.
I love how he runs. So, but I mean, do you think that this is just because there was such a quick turnaround from last year, or is this a microcosm of like a much bigger issue that is affecting the NBA?
Oh, it's definitely a microcosm of a much bigger issue. I think the amount of injuries is somewhat of because of travel restrictions and things like that, making it a little bit harder to get a normal routine where a lot of guys would probably have a better health and wellness routine than they do this season, maybe because of not being able to get to the arena at the right time or not being able to, you know, be in the hotel with people. I think that probably kind of stuck off on more. And I think the NBA needs to work on that. But when you say historically, people continue to get bigger, faster, stronger, but the joints are the exact same they were.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So George Mikan and Zion Williamson have the same joints.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. should tell you why there's more injuries.
Sure. That's a good point. I see what you're saying.
But yeah, so that's and I want to, but I'm going to put on this. I'm going to go back and I'm going to sandwich it with another good.
Okay.
I'm going to sandwich another good to make us feel better about this. All right. The amount of young stars really stepping up in this playoffs.
For sure.
I've been very critical of the last number of drafts that there hasn't been that star power and there hasn't been that thing. But you see in this kind of this playoffs, Donovan Mitchell. You Booker. See it at Trae Young. You see Luka Doncic. You see these guys. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. These young guys are starting to step up that they're now getting to be the next generation of stars. And you're really getting to see it in this playoff. So I'm going to say that's a very good thing we're seeing is that the NBA is alive and well with stars. Jason Tatum is one. But guys like that where you're like, okay, we still have star players.
Yeah, we're going to be good for a while.
We'll be good. And it took a little bit to get used to. And I don't know how much was the season stopping and then the bubble and all that. Yeah. But it's very nice to see that.
Well, quickly, what's your conference finals?
I'm still going Philadelphia. Still Philly and Brooklyn.
You're still picking Brooklyn?
I'll still pick Brooklyn for now. Right. I think they're going to fake an injury and then come back and win it. How about that security guard working for Kevin Durant?
I know.
Oh, jeez. they're going to have some more security guards run on. Yeah, I still, do you think Milwaukee comes back and wins now?
I honestly do. If Harden can't come back and if Irving can't come back, there's no way. I mean, you saw it there.
Yeah. So we'll go on from that. Let's move over to a story that came out. I don't know if it came out today or yesterday, but about Luka Doncic.
Okay. Yeah, so there is a story circulating that Luka is at odds with the Dallas front office. I know some people are going to hate hearing that, some of our friends. The dude's name is Harlobos Bulgarius. Nailed it. Director of Quantitative Research and Development. And apparently he's like the right-hand man to...
He's a guy who's invested a lot and made a lot of money. Yeah. He used to work for Grantland, apparently, with Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
But he's an analytics guy. He's a super analytics guy. And
apparently Luka doesn't like him. The coach doesn't like him. And they got into it in one game.
So the story that I keep seeing is that this guy has always been a self-made guy. Mm-hmm. He's always kind of been by himself, mm-hmm. which I can get Mark Cuban understanding that.
Yeah.
But Mark Cuban learned how to deal with people. And this guy apparently does not know how to deal with people.
Yeah.
And so, like, one of the stories they said is on draft day, he was like, these are draft picks. And they were like, hey, we don't really agree with that. And he just didn't even show up. He's like, those are draft picks.
What?
And that was it. Like, that's he just like, this is who we're picking. These are the right guys. And just didn't show up to, like, talk to anybody about it or nothing else. He just said, those are the guys you pick.
There's a problem there.
There's a huge problem with that. But that's apparently the issue is that everyone's like, we're trying to run a team and we want the best things. But now none of us have any say in anything.
Right.
This guy is basically telling us everything we did, which is fine. If we win an NBA championship, cool. But if this is the same guy who's like, you got to get Kristaps Porzingis.
I was just about to say. If it's
a guy who's like, here's the matchup changes. And I mean, it's a question of was he a guy who, because apparently he's making lineup changes. He's making That's rotation insane. Changes
yeah.
Because it's all analytics. And so if he's the guy who said Boban needs to be starting and it's not Carlisle, that's interesting.
It's very interesting. Do you think it's the big, like it's very significant or is it just,
I think it's hugely significant, but I don't think it's deal breaking.
It's not going to affect.
I think that Luka's doing the right thing, which is come out now and go, look, most of these guys that are complaining about this don't have the clout to complain about this guy to Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
I do. Because if I walk, this team sucks.
Yeah.
So.
And how are you going to be able to explain that to anybody that we
chose analytics over this
generational player?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that's where he knows. And because I think that's the point where Mark Cuban go, okay, I can work with this guy. We can get things fixed and it'll all be water under the bridge. Because everything is not so much the decisions is the fact that this guy makes decisions and then doesn't. And then he's like number two. And they're like, we don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know who you are, why you think you're this great, but you're number two. And that was the one that he apparently really pissed off. Luka was at a game.
Yeah, he yelled. He told him to calm down.
And Luka's like, what?
Luka, I'm telling you right now, the Lakers have nobody like that in their front office. I think you would look amazing in purple and gold. So
I mean, if you want to talk about some great front office people, I would say the San Antonio Spurs have an amazing front office. It's right down the road. You barely have to move. You get more land out in the San Antonio area than you can in Dallas. And I don't know. I don't know if you've ever heard. I don't know if you've ever heard about some guys like Manu Ginobili or Tony Parker. But we've had some pretty famous foreign stars too. So Luca, okay. We'll see you in San Antonio, buddy. We got to take another break. When we come back, let's see what story. What story should I tease with, Anthony?
Let's do some poop in a water park.
Oh, there's poop in a water park. Coming up on It's Serious here on the Horn 104.9 101. Back at Insta Serious here on the Horn, wrapping things up. It's time for some Insta Serious news. Anthony, are you ready?
I'm ready, Miles. This one you can listen to.
Number one story of the week. It is Father's Day on Sunday. Heads up for anybody who did not know that was coming up and needs to buy a gift still. There is lots of good gifts out there this year that you can buy. I've read some stories of some great stuff. There is a brilliant ideas while I had while pooping book. A notebook you can give people.
I like that.
There is a new pool float that actually is like a tank, and it takes water up into it, and you can shoot water gun out of this pool float.
Wait for that.
That is a pool float for you right there.
I like that.
There is plenty of great ideas in cigars and whiskey and all of those things. There's a disappointed sigh button machine that you can get. Lots of great things that you can get your dad. But Anthony, you're a father.
I am.
You also have a father.
How surprising, man.
Surprisingly. What is the best or worst gift you have ever gotten or given? I know there's a lot of options, but I feel somewhere in there you have gotten or given a bad Father's Day gift.
I gave a lot of handmade gifts growing up. My dad, I'm sure he doesn't own them now, but almost every Father's Day, he'd get like a booklet of like things that you would do, or like some clay cigarette tray thing that he doesn't smoke, you know, things like that. So yeah, I used to make a lot of presents.
Lot of ashtrays for a non-smoker. Yeah. What's the worst? What do you think would be the worst? Because it's always like, I feel like we need to get a new cliche thing that people get for Father's Day, because they're like, it's the tie or socks. You're like, does anybody really do that?
I used to get socks.
No, we did it because I feel like that was in the 90s.
Yeah.
That we give a tie and socks. Yeah. Is that still a thing?
I still get tie or socks, but I get them from like my mom. I got a shirt for my son last year, but it was like two bears, and he was like, it was like the greatest dad. Or actually got me a cup that said greatest dad ever. So yeah, those things are the best things ever.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is going to be the coupon to give.
Okay.
It's a coupon that says you don't have to loan me the money one time. And then give that to your, and then your dad, when you're like, Dad, I could really use like $100. And he's like, coupon. Oh, no.
Dad, I really need that money for college.
Coupon. Coupon. but I feel like someone needs to come up with a new cliche thing to get dads in 2021. It's probably some smart device.
I was going to say some smart device or something that's already on your phone, like just an extra, like a GPS thing.
But get your father's a Father's Day gift. You've got a week to do it, guys. Our next story comes to us from NBC. The National Broadcasting Corporation had to shut down Ultimate Slip and Slide. Is a new game show that is coming, of a water park themed game show. I'm not sure. I'm sure it's in the Wipeout, whatever that Steph Curry hole in one, one of those giant things. But apparently, over 40 crew members got explosive diarrhea and had to shut it down. Is there anything worse than explosive diarrhea at a water park? Do you ever get scared of water parks?
I think water parks are disgusting. Kids are gross, and it's just nothing but kids, and then drunk people are gross. You put those two combinations, water parks are just a water-filled bacteria, just disease. Ew, it's just disgusting.
Now, I will say this. New game show, Ultimate Diarrhea Water Park. You guys got to pick which slide you are going to slide into. That there's a guy in the pool, and you got to fix it like the guy's face. Is the guy's face like, oh no? And you have to figure out which one of them really has diarrhea, and you're like, the one you land in, you lose.
Oh, that's okay.
You still win. You still win money because of lawsuit. But,
yeah, that sounds terrible.
This woman in Spain has banned her blood family from her funeral.
I respect that.
She put in her own obituary that she fell out with her in-laws and with her family. And she's attended 15 people are allowed at her wedding.
I like it.
A
15
person guest list. Since my family has not been blood for a long time, I declare in my last will and testament that only the people mentioned below can attend my funeral service.
I'm a fan.
So that is she was 15 people. Anthony, do you have any pettier or silly responses that you would have at your funeral?
What I want is I want some Italian mob men to come to my funeral, come up to my casket and just be like, he was the greatest boss ever. And then I want an old lady or a lady with a child in the back just crying. And then the kid just randomly every now and then be like, when can I see my daddy?
I just want to have a random B or C list celebrity that like I cameo their appearance, like you pay him in advance and they show up. And then I would be like, is that Dan Cortez in the back?
Tony.
Is that Dan Cortez? That is, I feel that would be great. Nice. Also, I want to do it to where I have a coffin, but I'm cremated. And so halfway through, someone walks in, they just open it, and it's just another just dude.
Okay.
And the other dude's like, whoa, I've been in there for like a week. And then just freaks everybody out, and they're like, yeah, he's cremated. Why would he? We can't afford any of this. We're out of time. We got to take off. Thanks so much, Anthony White. Everybody,
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep your underwear clean. Be safe out there, and we'll see you next week. Peace.